Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
By the time your kids are gone, you kind of look at each other and remember each other's name, but that's about it.
Well, what should I do?
Well, don't be looking at me. Nothing I can do about it. Go on and go about your business.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, I've counseled lots of married couples over the years, and it's pretty safe to say that just about every marriage experiences a certain measure of, well, low-level anger and low-level frustration at times or during the whole marriage. Well, it's not going to lead to divorce, but it is enough of a problem to keep a married couple from the kind of relationship they really want. Well, if that describes your marriage right now, I'm glad you tuned into Homeward today, because Dr. Dave Stoop is with me once again in studio, and we're going to continue our conversation about how to work through the issues that can help a couple start doing more than just surviving with their spouse. Making a good marriage great is our theme today on Homeward. Stay with us. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. During the next half hour, part two of our continuing conversation with Dr. Dave Stoop, author of the book Better Than Ever, talking about making a good marriage great. Dr. Jim Burns and his wife Kathy have written a resource to help you make your marriage better than ever, making your good marriage great. And the way you can do so, of course, is by having a weekly time of just a faith conversation between you and your spouse. They've written a book called Closer, Faith Conversations for Couples. It's a 52 conversation starting ideas. For more information on how to order a copy of that book as you support the ministry of Homeward, go to homeward.com. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a continuing conversation with Dr. David Stoop. We're talking about making a good marriage great. Even if you don't have a very good marriage, by the way, there is hope. It can happen with just one person making some intentional decisions to become a more effective spouse, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, in spite of the bad news about marriage reported in the media, and there is so much bad news always, it is possible to take your marriage from good to great, but it's going to take some intentionality we've been talking about. Dave Stoop, popular speaker, author of many, many books, including Forgiving the Unforgivable, Making Peace with Your Father, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, great books, and loads of other great books. Founder and director of the Center for Family Therapy in Southern California, lives with his wife, Jan. They've been married for over 50 years and have three grown children and five grandchildren. Has just written a book. It's just come out. Better Than Ever, Seven Secrets to Making a Good Marriage Great. Great book, by the way. Dave, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for being with us. In some ways, it's a continuing conversation from last time. We've been talking about taking good marriages and making them great. And you talk about how easy it is for a good marriage to go the other way and wind up, you know, severely off course. So these people are trying to go this way. I mean, every time when people get married, they say, we're not going to be like those other people. We're going to have a good marriage. But then they severely get off course. They sit in your counseling center and, you know, tell you these stories. How do you get that way?
Oh, there's a variety of ways. You know, the priorities is one thing that we talked about the other day. The whole thing about being afraid of being intimate, I think, is a huge issue that I see often, you know. And those are the people who say, I want intimacy, I want closeness. In reality, they're terrified of it. And as long as they're not getting it, they can want it. And then if things start to change, they realize, wow, you know, that's not, you know, I got to face some of my fears. Because intimacy is being known, letting yourself be known by somebody else.
When you talk about fears, I know you say that to make a good marriage great, that involves courage. I remember even underlining, you said couples who experience great marriages have had the courage to face their basic fears rather than allowing the fears to control their relationship. Mm-hmm. That was very strong. What did you mean by that?
Well, there's two basic fears, two or three basic fears that couples struggle with that are often under the radar, you know. One of them usually is terrified of being left, of being abandoned in some way. And they become the ones that are responsible for the relationship. The other one is the fear of being controlled, and somebody else is going to run my life for me. The other one that men often struggle with is the fear of being a failure. And so if I stay in control, then I don't have to face the possibility of failing. Well, you get, you know, it's amazing how couples get together where one is afraid of abandonment, the other one's afraid of being controlled. So the one who's fearful of control is always somewhat abandoning, maybe abandoning in some very healthy ways, like with church and Sunday school teaching and soccer, you know, lots of things that fathers get into and mothers get into too. You get into that and that becomes your focus, and the other person in the marriage relationship feels very alone, very, very abandoned. And so they pursue more, and the more they pursue, the more the other person starts to feel controlled, and the more they pull away. And you get into that kind of a cycle, the pursued pursuer kind of cycle.
When you're in that cycle, you can't really experience true intimacy.
No, because you're always either running away from somebody or chasing after somebody.
Yeah.
There's no time for true intimacy.
How does affection come into that? You wrote about affection, saying that sometimes people are afraid of affection.
Oh, yeah. I've got somebody right now where she's afraid to let him show affection because in her mind, it always has a hook to it, which is sex. So if I show you, if I let you show me some affection, we're just going to end up having sex, and I'm not ready for that, and so they avoid the affection as well.
It's interesting,
and it's sad.
You know, I find that sometimes it's not about sex, but it's about like even kissing. I think kissing is very intimate in some ways, and I wrote my Creating an Intimate Marriage book. It was a quote from somebody else, but it was, you know, a prostitute said, I will have sex with my clients, but I won't kiss them because that's far too intimate.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people will actually even have sexual relations, but not have affection in the home because they're kind of afraid of that.
Well, and the kiss becomes a peck, you know, and there's, I've heard several places where they encourage you to have a 10-second kiss. And you do that, and you see how intimate it is.
Right.
And when you hold on and stay there, it's a whole different ballgame than the quick peck on the cheek or on the lips before you go someplace or when you come home from someplace.
Yeah. No, Kathy and I did that both in the morning and at night, and finally our kids said, Mom and Dad, get a room. But you're really right, because that really, you know, that's not the kind of kiss you give Grandma.
No.
And that really does sometimes make a difference, even when there's low-lying resentment or low-lying anger at something that had taken place or just a lot of tension in the home. You know, sometimes that affection really can break that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that we should share everything to be intimate, single thing?
That's a big thing. No, I don't think so. I think there's... But it's hard to know where to draw the line. There's still a... I guess, you know, I've been married a long time and I know a lot about my wife, but there's still things I don't know that I'm still discovering, and I think that's great. I think there are things that if I keep them a secret, they're going to be destructive. Like, you know, I think couples want to know everything about the pre-marriage life. You know, before you met me, what did you do? And that's dangerous. You got to be careful with that kind of thing. I think, though, that everything that goes on within the marriage relationship, there should be the willingness to be open. And it's not that you have to give a detailed accounting of the day, but there's a willingness to be open about it. And if you're not, that's a danger signal. You got to be careful.
What do you think about somebody who said, well, I've been flirting with an emotional affair. I don't see myself going that direction, but I've been flirting with, you know, I think about this person who might be at work or who might be at church or in the gym or whatever, and I think about being with them instead of my spouse.
Well, you may not be willing or even able to follow through on that as you're at that stage, but if you keep doing that, you can cross the line pretty easily. That's danger there.
Do you tell your spouse that?
I think you tell your spouse before you get to that point.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that I think is important. You remember, his name just slipped my mind. He did Letters to Karen.
Charlie Shedd.
Charlie Shedd and his wife. Yeah. I remember them talking about, he enjoyed looking at other women, and so they did it together. They would walk the beach at Hilton Head Island there, and she'd say, well, what about that one? He'd say, yeah, so, you know. And then he said, well, now there, that, you know, that. And so they brought it into the relationship,
right.
And they were comfortable doing that. Now
everybody's
comfortable
and had to be really confident,
pretty
secure
confident,
in their own relationship to do that.
So you don't push that one. I mean, but I think if somebody's at that place, it's a little late. They need to get with some other people, some guys, if it's the man, and say, you know, I need some help here. I got to get, because as soon as you start talking about about it to somebody, it kind of breaks the spell.
Right.
And that's what's so important.
I think you're right. You know, I'm in a small group on Tuesday mornings. I'm in another relationship with a friend of mine who about every 6 weeks we get together and we ask the tough questions. Have you done anything inappropriate, even in your mind, and whether it would be with the opposite sex, or are you being faithful to your time with God and whatnot? I find that I'm a better husband to Kathy and a better dad because I hang out with these men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes there are things that I would share with these men that they would get easier than with Kathy. I don't know that I should hide things from her, but I find that I can say something and they will identify with me because we're friends and we're brothers and we kind of do life together. Where with Kathy, it may take, you know, a little bit more communication. So I'll try it on them and then I'll take it to Kathy.
And then you kind of decide what to do. You know, you made a very important point there that you've got these men that help you be a better husband. And I think when women have good women friends, that makes them a better wife. Right. It's having the same sex friends that's so important. And if that's not there, that's another danger signal.
Boy, it certainly is. And a great insight from Dr. Jim Burns and his friend and mentor, Dr. Dave Stoop, today here on the Homeward Broadcast as we're talking about making a good marriage great and how important it is for husband and wife to make your marriage a priority. Of course, especially if you're raising kids, a lot of times the tyranny of the urgent means that you become so kid-focused that you forget about your marriage. And also, as Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jim Burns just underscored too, it's important for the wife to have her girlfriends and the husband to have his guy friends and have those, you know, mandates and, you know, girls' night outs or whatever, to make sure that that you keep those relationships intact too. Dr. Dave Stoop is the author of the book Better Than Ever. There's a link on our homepage today here at homeward.com where you can learn more about that. Also, Dr. Jim Burns and his wife Kathy have written a great book for couples called Closer. It's a devotional book for couples that don't like to do devotions. You can order it directly from homeward.com and support the ministry of Homeward when you do so. Learn more about how you can do all that when you go to homeward.com or call 800-397-9725.
See if this sounds like a complaint that perhaps you've heard in your own marriage. We need to work on our marriage. It feels like you don't care anymore. If you would put more time and energy into our relationship, we both would be in a much better place. You might be surprised to learn the person who wrote those words is actually me. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, okay? So maybe I didn't use those exact words, but I remember feeling frustrated with what our marriage was becoming. But it was out of that frustration that I learned a very important lesson about awe, affection, warmth, and encouragement. It's easy to blame your spouse for wrong priorities and a lack of intimacy in your marriage. Instead, why not make it your goal to show appropriate affection to your spouse as often as you can, create an atmosphere of warmth and acceptance, and always seek ways to encourage your spouse in faith and in love. For a free copy of my tip sheet called Creating an Intimate Marriage, one filled with affection, warmth, and encouragement, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Don't miss a minute of any Homeward program, even when you're not near your radio. Go to homeward.com today and sign up for a free subscription to start receiving our daily podcast. You can learn more when you go to our online resource center. That's homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation day. Almost went overtime on that last break because I'm so into this conversation. Dr. David Stoop with us, making a good marriage great. A lot of people would say that, you know what, I'd love to have even a good marriage. I'm not going to even settle for a great marriage. I just like to have a good marriage. Well, you know what? It's the same principles. You can move from wherever you're at to becoming a person who has a marriage that is better. And I want to encourage you to do just that. As I said earlier, you know, in spite of the bad news about marriage that's reported in the media, it is possible to have a good marriage. I'm convinced of that. I don't think you have a perfect marriage. And if you are one of these people who have idealism up there, forget it. It's not going to happen. A sinner marries another sinner. You have sinnerlings and you bump into each other and get messy. We're talking about some secrets to moving toward a good and great marriage. Dave, one of the things that I've often thought about is that, and you mentioned this in your book, speaking the truth in love to our spouses isn't easy at all. And you say sometimes we just simply have to do that.
Well, yeah, you know, if we talk to our friends the way we talk to our spouse, we wouldn't have any friends sometimes, you know. I think courtesy is important. And, you know, when you slip from that, you know, correct it quickly and get back on track again. Again, what I watch people do is they'll hit a subject and then it's zipped. They're down the road, 50 miles before they know what happened. It happens so quickly because they're not pacing themselves. So I'm telling couples, slow it down. Slow it down. If you have to kind of paraphrase each other to slow it down, whatever you got to do, slow the process down and talk about the process. Don't, get away from the subject if it's a problem. And that will help you to follow Paul's advice there of speaking the truth in love.
What do you say if your husband or if your wife is, they have a poor self-image. So you need to say to them, you know what, honey, this concerns me or whatever. You're not trying to do it in a judgmental attitude, but the truth is that they take it that way and they get defensive and they think it's a personal attack on them when it really isn't.
Well, but they get to tell you whether it is or not. See, it's not the sender who can say, well, that wasn't criticism. It's the receiver who says that felt like criticism. If there's defensiveness, there was criticism. And criticism is an attack. It's an attack on my behavior. And however well-meaning you are, it never works. There is no such thing as constructive criticism.
So do you ever criticize Jan?
Oh, yeah, I'm human,
years?
But it doesn't work. Yeah. you've heard that story about the eight cow wife, I'm sure. The guy, this is a true story apparently in the South Pacific, where he paid eight cows for his plain, ordinary-looking wife, where the going rate was one or two. And years later, she was the most elegant, beautiful woman. And they said, well, how did you know to pick her that? And he said, well, I didn't. I just knew that I paid eight cows for her, and she lived up to what I paid. So if my spouse is suffering from self-esteem, then, you love them unconditionally and respect them and revere them and build them up. You can undo those kind of things, but we lose patience with that, and it works against us.
So would you never criticize?
Oh, yeah, you're talking to sinful people who are
right.
Dysfunctional. So of course we're going to criticize, but know that every time you criticize, you're going to get defensiveness, and then you're going to get counter defensiveness, and now you're off to the races with an argument. See, so as soon as you can catch that, back away from it. There's repair. We talk in the book about how to repair those situations, and I give an example of, I said to Jen one time when she brought a big bag back from the store. I said, "How many did you buy?" Well, that has a history to it. That was criticism, And, that ended the evening right there because, and I said, it's just a simple question, Well, no answer then, So we all do it. And so what you want to do then is to back away from it, do some repair, and there's different things you can do. Get out of the topic, because talking about the topic isn't going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's too late. And now talk about, can we start over? I really love you. I got out of that one really stupidly, but, I said, are you at least sorry for misunderstanding me,
And you're still working on it.
but I was rubbing her back
right.
while I said that.
Right.
And the nonverbal language was more important than the verbal.
Right.
And she laughed because it was such a stupid, absurd thing. I'm still
right.
blaming her.
Right.
And then I laughed, and then we broke the tension, and now
right.
we could resolve
right.
the thing.
That's actually very, very helpful, I think, to a lot of us. One of the other secrets that you talked about was a secret that I thought was very fascinating, that husbands need to let our wives influence us. You talked about John Gottman, the great marriage expert, if you would, from the University of Washington, said that, a lot of husbands, basically, if they rejected the influence of their wife, their marriages were doomed
That's
to failure.
That's a high predictor of failure, divorce, yeah. And accepting her, or validating, it doesn't mean you do what she says, but you validate what she says, is one of the highest predictors of success in that. So I take that, and I spin that into the role of the man as the leader in the home. And it's when you talk to men about being the leader in the home, it's like the little guy on the cup I saw years ago. He's frantic, and all the other people are on the other side of the cup, and he says, where are they, which way did they go? I'm their leader. And that's the way a lot of men feel. I'm the leader in this house, what do I do? Tell me what to do. Well,
right.
If she has to tell you what to do, she's the leader. And it's not really a leadership role. I take it, and I play with 1 Corinthians 11:3, which isn't about hierarchy there, because Christ isn't, God isn't higher than Christ. So the husband isn't higher in a hierarchy than the wife. It means that he's the source. And you go back to Genesis 2, and he is the source for the woman. She's taken from him. Well, that means he sets the pace. Whatever's going on in a marriage, he is setting the pace for that. And I go into detail in this, because this, I think, is so important. you've heard, I've heard all these sermons on submission. You know, that's not the issue. Submission can be a very powerful behavior. It's not a weak behavior. It can be very powerful. It's more, what does the guy do? Well, he's already doing it. And he's setting a pace, and he can be setting a passive pace, he can be setting an antagonistic pace, or he can be setting a pace of goodness where things are growing and moving forward. He's the one who determines the atmosphere in the home. That's what I believe the man being the leader does, is that he creates the environment. And he's doing that no matter what. That's just a given. And so if I've got a couple where the marriage is bad, I want to know what the guy's not doing and what he is doing that's counterproductive. Because that's the key to getting things back on track.
Ouch. There's some guys listening who just said ouch, because they're blaming their wives because their wives are maybe being negative or critical or
Why is she being critical? One of the things they said when the wives do criticize more than the husbands is because they're frustrated. Because the guy's not doing anything, you know. And if we're passive, if we put all our energy here's the thing. I say to guys, do you know how to set priorities at work? Do you know how to strategize? Do you know how to deal with conflict situations at work? You know, I can go down a list of things, and they say, yeah, you know. I say, you ever think about doing those things at home? We have all the skills. Men have all the skills to make a great marriage if they will just transfer those skills from the job to the home. And you don't have to be a CEO to do that. You can be a guy working on the production line, and you're still strategizing. You're setting the priorities. You're dealing with the conflict with other people. You're doing all those things that, if you did this at home, it'd make a world of difference.
That is actually great input for all of us, and I think some of us actually probably need to get this CD and hand it over to husbands, who they could hear this too, because we got more women who listen to this program than men, right, Roger? I want you to take the final moments of our program. Give us a practical tip or so on keeping passion alive over the course of a marriage.
Well, passion, we often think of passion as being sensual, you know, and it is sensual, but it's not necessarily sexual. Passion is the fun. It's the play. It's getting out and getting excited about life together. And so it can be going to the beach and having a great time together. You know, it can be sitting at home and turning the TV off and sitting there having a great conversation and laughing together. And that passion comes from being alive with each other. And that means we got to, you know, we talked earlier about not playing together. We got to learn to play together again.
Amen to that. And I know that's something Jim and Kathy Burns get A-pluses in. You know, keeping the family playtime and the couples, you know, just having some fun together. That's a priority in marriage. And on that note, we conclude today's edition of the interview portion of the Homeward broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns having a conversation with his friend and mentor, Dr. Dave Stoop, about making a good marriage great. And Dave is the author of the book Better Than Ever. And Jim, I know one of the themes that you touched on in the program, I want you to kind of focus us back to in the closing moments of this edition of the Homeward broadcast. Playtime together, having fun together is great. Also, spiritual growth is a huge component of making a good marriage great. And take the final moments of our time together and talk about that.
Dave referred to this in our conversation today in many ways. It gets a good marriage to be much greater when you really focus on it. I know that when Kathy and I spend time together, when we focus on going away and having some special moments, well, you know what? Our marriage gets better. If we just sort of put it aside, then it doesn't. One of the things you mentioned is spiritual growth. And I know that with our packed schedules, we don't have time sometimes within a marriage or within the family to develop spiritual growth. And yet I think it's one of the most important things we can do. Now, here's the deal. At Homeward, we are here to equip and educate and encourage parents to pass on the legacy of faith to the next generation. We want to be able to help you do that. And one of the ways to do it is to put out one of my favorite resources to you. It's called Devotions on the Run. It's a devotional book. It's simple. It's easy. It has about 50 different devotions inside. They're short. They don't take long to read. But I guarantee that by going through this, it will make a difference in your spiritual outlook if you start reading it every day. And it's going to take about 5 or 10 minutes. And it's what we've talked about in terms of making it a priority. Read it. Read it with your spouse. Read it with your kids.
The great thing about this book, Jim, and I know that this is one of the encouragements that many of the readers who've read this book have said, is it's very concise, it's very easy to use. And so even if you don't have a lot of time to spend on deep Bible study during the course of the day, this is a great devotional piece that you can use, and it travels nicely with you, too. If you'd like ordering information for Dr. Jim Burns' book, Devotions on the Run, all you have to do is contact us. Actually, you can call us at 800-397-9725 or just go online at homeward.com. Remember, Jim's books are available for purchase wherever Christian books are sold. But if you do order a copy of a book like Devotions on the Run from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we are a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. Your tax-deductible donations help keep us on the air every day. You can make that donation online at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.